We're going to turn this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, that chapter I mentioned just a short while ago. Deuteronomy chapter 1, we'll read some verses from this chapter starting at verse number 1. Deuteronomy 1 and verse number 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazaroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the 1st day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them, after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you. And then down in verse 19, And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, Ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. May the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the fact that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And we bless thee, O God, for the number of times thou hast given us clear guidance from the word of the living God. And we thank thee, O God, that we can enter in to that rest of faith, resting upon that word, knowing that the heavens may fall, but thy word abideth forevermore. And today we pray that thou would bless us as we meditate upon thy word, that thou would touch every heart and soul, and grant, O God, that we may rededicate ourselves to the service of the Lord Jesus, and will not allow anything to hinder us from our walk with him. And Father, we do pray that thou would bless every individual soul, that none shall leave this place untouched by the hand of God. And Father, do speak to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, because we know that any ministry, human in the human sense, is a waste of time. Our Father, we pray that thou would take thine own word and apply it to every heart, and bless us and do us good. Speak, O God, we pray, and should there be a soul here not saved, O God, we pray that thou would reveal thy truth to them, and grant that they too would enter into the land of promise and the land of thy salvation. Hear this our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, when I was speaking to you just a couple of weeks ago, I preached on the subject of living on the border of God's blessing. And we showed you how that the children of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they said to Moses when they're coming ready to go into the promised land, they said, bring us not over Jordan. They did not want to go in, and their selfish choice was based on the cattle that they had and the suitability of the west eastern part of Jordan for their cattle. Then we spoke the next time on those that went over Jordan. We showed you Joshua chapter 18 and verse 3, where those who had gone into the promised land had sort of settled back on their leaves and rested on their laurels. So what Joshua had to say, how long are ye slack with regard to possessing the land? Now this morning, I told you the story of that little blue letter, and tomorrow is a very important date in the history of this congregation. Let me explain it to you. It was on August 6, 1975, the Lord clearly laid on my heart, verse 21 of this chapter, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. After that time, there was some to-ing and fro-ing with letters and so on from the Northern Ireland to here. And eventually, in the spring of 1976, and you'll hear about that in later two-minute messages that I'll give you, but at that time, I received a call, and that call came about the first week of March in 1976. A call when it came from her brother Gordon Bryant, and I'm glad that Kathy, his wife, is with us this morning. The letter came from the congregation here asking me to come and to minister. Now, I had been praying for a number of months and was convinced in my own heart of the Lord's leading. And then I was going that day, the 6th of March, 1976, with the idea of lifting the telephone and sending a telegram. Now, you don't send telegrams today, but I don't think anyhow. But in those days, that was the way you got a quick message. I was going to send a telegram to Gordon and to telegraph my acceptance of the call. But I said, Lord, before I do that, I better check one final time to make sure that I don't make a mistake. And what I did, I took out my daily reading calendar, given to me by the Reverend David Brown, who was murdered in his service for the Lord. I took out that daily reading calendar, which I had not been using that year. I said, I must just check on the month of March and the sixth day of March. And you could have knocked me down with a feather, because the reading for that morning was Deuteronomy chapter 1 and Deuteronomy chapter 2. And so the Lord confirmed to me that that was the call that we had to go. And so we came in due time and the work went on. And so this morning what I want to do, I want to bring the congregation back to the bedrock of where this congregation started, the bedrock of the command and the promise of the Lord. Now the circumstances regarding the congregation have changed greatly in the 30 years, because at the beginning we were the offscouring of the earth. We had no home of our own. We were put out in the street in the summer of 1976, and our building that was rented from the East York School Board was demolished, and so those were difficult days. Yet the Lord gave us this call, the Lord has set the land before thee. But now, 30 years later, things have changed quite a bit. Those days were pioneer days. Now we have days where we have a well-established work in our church and in our Sunday school and our youth fellowship. And, of course, that very important work of the Whitfield Christian Schools that we have. We have a well-established work. So while our circumstances have changed from 1976 to 2006, one thing that has not changed, and that is the command and the promise of the Lord that we have in the text that I have read to you. So I want to look at it briefly and to remind you, so today all of us may rededicate ourselves to fulfilling this command and obeying this promise and rejoicing in the leading of the Lord, because I believe that this church is not finished, the end is not yet, the best is yet to be. The first thing that comes before mind is the Lord's challenge. For it says there, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee." So they have come up the backside of the River Jordan up through the wilderness. They're in a place now where they can look into the land. And God is telling them, "Behold, I have set the land before thee." They had been in bondage in Egypt. They were brought through the Red Sea by the mighty power of God and delivered from Egypt by the shedding of the precious blood. Then they traveled north 11 days from Egypt up to Kadesh Barnea, which was in the lower reaches of the land of Canaan. And they were standing at that time on the threshold of the great blessing of the Lord. And the land was spread before them. It was a land of abundance. There were grapes there, and you see how that two men had to carry one bunch of grapes. They were so big and so heavy. In fact, if you go to Israel today, you find that every taxi there has that motto on the door. The two men carrying the grapes. So it was a land of grapes. It was a land where there's abundance of figs. Now the figs that we get are usually those that are dried and not all that nice. But you get a fresh fig in Israel. It is a most beautiful fruit and it's very, very enjoyable. It was a land of milk and a land of honey. And so the Lord showed them this land of abundance. Now God has called us in our day likewise to a land of abundance. We have in this country been called not to go through the poverty-stricken situations of other nations. We're called into a land of peace and prosperity. And we have a land that has plenty of provision, both of food and of fresh water, and we have everything we need in this land. God has set the land before us. He has set this province of Ontario before us. He has set the city of Toronto before us. And He's also set before us this locality of Malvern before us. And the Lord wants us to lift up our eyes. He says, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee." This was the land of their inheritance because it was from God. It was their place. It was a place that they could say, "This is a place that God has given to us." They didn't choose it. It was God who chose it for them. And likewise, this is our inheritance here. We didn't choose to come to Nielsen and Finch. This was the leading and directing of the Lord. We didn't sit down and plan, that'd be a good place to have a church and so on. The Lord led us step by step through the buying of the school building there, first of all, and then the purchase of this property, the building of this church, and the building of a new school. It was the Lord who did this. And we can thank God today that we have a place that we can call our own. Now, we had a wonderful time down in Phoenix last weekend. Wonderful, they haven't had rain for 135 days, and the sun just shines perpetually down there, but we had a good time with the congregation, and they have bought a piece of ground. I'm not sure exactly the acreage, but a good site that they have, but they're having difficulty going on to build it, because the cost of building in Phoenix, which is a very vastly growing city, the cost is just multiplying every day, and so it is difficult for them. So they have moved from different places, just renting accommodation, and we felt for them because you got to bring all your stuff like we had to do in the early days. Bring your hymn books and your pulpit and all the rest. They have had to go through all this. And I just said, "Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a settled place, because we went through the wilderness and the Lord brought us into our inheritance here." It's a land of opportunity because for Israel, there was so much opportunity there. The land was just waiting to be conquered. And here, God has given us a land that is waiting to be conquered. The Lord has, in His mercy and in His providence, raised up all these houses in this area. And there are thousands upon thousands of them. And the Lord is saying, "Behold, look at these houses around this area." Now, when we came here in 1991 at the beginning, none of those houses existed. The ones across the road here did, but all these up Neilson and across there, they weren't here. But the Lord has brought them to us. The Lord has brought us this land of challenge. And so it's a land of opportunity. And the Lord would challenge us today to go up and possess the land. Now, a year ago, I brought you the motto text for last year, which was the one that the Lord doth go before you. And I spoke to you at that time that Moses was standing looking in the promised land and telling Joshua to go into the promised land. And I know that at that time that Moses, when he spoke, that the major part of his ministry was over. And I'm not under any illusions. I know that the greater part of my ministry is long gone because of my advancing years. And by the way, thank you very much for the nice night you gave me a couple of weeks ago and for the pleasant gift we appreciate and all the cards they received when I came to the mighty 70 years. I will not be here to lead you into the future, but the Lord has the land there for you, and he wants you to look out and to take up his challenge. The second thing here is the Lord's command. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. It's a command of the Lord. Now, Canaan was not a dream. Canaan was not a mirage. Canaan was a reality. And the children of Israel, they had to go in and possess it. God did not bring the land to them. They had to go in and possess the land. And God will not bring the ministry to us. We got to go out, and we got to get out there with that word to the people round about. And that's why our program last year of getting the John's Gospels in to the community was so vital. Keep praying for them that they will speak, those that are still existing. And this year we hope to get the Gospel of Luke into the community. Pray for that now, that the ground will be ready for the sowing of the seed of the word of the Lord. And so it's not a dream or reality or mirage, it's a reality. And the Lord has called us to go in and possess the land. And if we don't possess it, friends, the devil will. So therefore, let's get up to the speed and get on with the work that God has called us to. Now, it takes great faith because Caleb and Joshua, they were two of the spies at Kadesh Barnea. And they went up and they saw the land of Canaan, they saw the giants, they saw the produce of the land, those grapes and so on. But they come back with a positive report. We are well able under God to possess the land. But then the other ten spies, they come back and they saw the grapes all right and they were happy with that. But then they saw there's going to be battles to be fought and these giants, how are we going to overcome them? And so they prevailed upon the congregation of Israel, and they did not at that time go in to possess the land. Now, when they left the land of Egypt, we're told here it was 11 days to Kadesh Barnea, that's the southern part of the land of Canaan, and to get to the area of Jerusalem, it would take them about 15 days, 2 weeks to get there. But they turned back at Kadesh Barnea, and because of that, they went into the wilderness, and they spent 40 years. And none of those, but Caleb and Joshua, entered into the land of promise. They lost out because they turned back in the day of battle. And so, we have battles ahead of us, and there's no doubt about it in the society in which we live, that it takes great faith to go in to serve the Lord. It also takes a great courage, because when they went into the land, some people regard Canaan as a type of heaven. It is to a degree, but it's more a picture of the believer's life here on earth, because they had to go in and fight. There's no fights in heaven. But they had to go in and displace the wicked nations that were in the land of Canaan. And so it took great courage on their part. Battles had to be fought. Evil had to be displaced. And so it was going to be a tough fight. Now for us as well, that the world is no friend to the grace of God. And you will notice how, for example, the Muslims, they rioted right across the world over the fact that some cartoons were written and drawn up that showed Muhammad in a negative light. My friend, if we as Christians were to riot every time something derogatory is said about our Savior, we would be rioting all the time, because Hollywood, and this film today that is probably going to win a whole bunch of Oscars, is a film of absolute wickedness, a sin, and what the Bible says is abomination in the eyes of God. But they'll go for that. And you'll find that the entertainment world and the media, they detest the believer. That's why, you know, you look at George Bush. George Bush has been blamed for everything under heaven. In fact, I had to laugh that he was also blamed by some person for the fact that Canada didn't win the gold medal in the hockey. Now, I don't know how George Bush had anything to do with that. But what's the problem? George Bush presents himself at least as a nominal Christian. And he has some ideas about trying to stop abortion and to try and stop some of the other things. And oh, you read the press and you think that, boy, that Christians must be awful people actually wanting to stop abortion and interfere with people's freedoms and so on. And we're in a battle. The world's no friend to grace. And the world will not lie down and play dead when we start to preach His Word. So therefore, we have to go in with determination and with courage. And may the Lord give us courage to do that. It also requires a great single-mindedness, because Joshua, when he began to lead the people into the land of promise, we read over there in verse 7 as he's speaking, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou dost go." And again speaks about the law of the Lord not departing out of their mouth. So the command is, be strong and very courageous. And so therefore it takes a single-mindedness. No matter what the devil throws at us, by the grace of God, we're going to enter in and possess the land. The children of Israel were so close, 11 days, and yet so far, 40 years, over 1,000 times longer it took them to get to the promised land, because they turned back at the time of Kadesh Barnea. I often wonder, how close are we to revival blessing? We pray and then we begin to lose the heart and begin to lose the energy. And I wonder how many times we've come right to the edge. And yet the Lord will cause us to go back into wilderness and not achieve the things that we need to achieve by the hand of the Lord. May God help us to press on. The third point, the Lord's covenant. "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee." This was a daunting task, many difficulties, fears and battles. Just going through the Winter Olympic Games, and I'm sure every athlete would tell you, there is no gain without pain. And think of the church in Pergamos in the book of Revelation, where the Lord said, "I know thy works, that thou dwellest where Satan's seat is." And I thought of that verse many, many times, because this city of Toronto has changed dramatically in the 30 years of our ministry here. And you look at all the wickedness and the sin and the crime on every hand. We have seen to be dwelling like Pergamos, where the very seat of Satan is to be found. But the good thing is that it's not an impossible task, because God had given to Abraham in Genesis 12 a promise that they were going to go in and enter into that land of promise that was fathered up, as we're told here, to Isaac and to Jacob and to others after them. The promise of God stood firm. And so they had God's command and they had his promise. And they had a history behind them. They could look back. They could look back to Egypt. They could look back to the application of blood, and they could look back to the Exodus. They could look back to deliverance going through the Red Sea. They could look back to miracle after miracle in the wilderness, how the Lord provided food for them and water for them. They had a history, and they could look back. But now they have a future before them. And today, in 2006, we can look back 30 years. And we can thank the Lord for the wonderful, marvelous, miraculous way the Lord has brought us to where we are today. Because if it hadn't been for the Lord intervening in a mighty way, we would never be able to do the work that we're doing today. The Lord has wonderfully blessed us here in this place. We have a history behind us, and we have a future ahead of us. Let's not turn back at Kadesh Barnea, but press through, and we can overcome by the grace of God the giants that are there. And you find that while there's much sin and opposition, the Lord sees us. The Lord knows the need, and the Lord's able to meet that need and to give us the power to go forward in the service of the Lord. His promises, they still hold. God bless the fathers of Israel, and he has blessed our fathers, and we can look forward to his blessing upon the children in the years to come. And finally, the Lord's consolation. The land is there, go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. It was a difficult task. It was a task that had battles, but that had many blessings. It had giants, but it also had grapes. The natural consideration of the 10 spies was, stay, we're not going in there. The consideration of the two spiritual men, Caleb and Joshua, was that we are able to go in by the power of God and take the land. But Israel lost out with God, because none of those that turned back from Kadesh Barnea, with exception of Caleb and Joshua, saw the land and entered into the promises that God had for them. Many fears. The fear of sin. Think of that soldier in Afghanistan yesterday, where they're sitting down trying to keep the peace. Soldiers sit down, the local community leaders, to try and help the situation. All of a sudden, just like the tsunami where the water goes back before the flood comes in, all the children disappeared out of the situation, and a young man coming up crying and shouting the famous Allahu Akbar, and slew, or at least seriously injured, one of our soldiers with an axe. It's a wicked world. You know, when I look at it, I say, almost, let Afghanistan, Iraq, let them go their own way, because you try to improve things, and all you do is you see what these people are going to do. Democracy doesn't work very well in those countries. But that's another subject. The sin in every hand, wickedness abounding, a folly in government, folly in the courts. Supreme Court decision this week. A folly in the different areas and different governments. And then we look at our own weakness. We fear not so much sin outside and wickedness, but we fear our own weakness, and we fear our own failures. And the devil, he will fan our fears where he can. But God says, fear not. Fear not. He underlines it to us, fear not. And then there are many discouragements. Because the discouragement of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh didn't want to go across Jordan. That was a discouragement to Moses and to Joshua. They were covetous. They were putting self first in their work. Then the discouragement of Achan in the land, who stole the riches and also stole the Babylonian idolatrous garment. Then there was the Gibeonites who came as deceivers to the children of Israel, another discouragement. And notice what the word is, discouragement. Neither be discouraged. The word courage there. And the devil, he wants to discourage us, remove our courage. That's his task, to take it away. But God says, fear not, neither be discouraged, because he'll give us the strength to do the work that we're called to do. And so, dear friends, I want you to think about this scripture, because amazing how many of our works in North America can trace their genesis to the book of Deuteronomy. Our Vancouver church, for example, is one. And the Lord has led us study this portion, study that command, study that promise. And in this 30th year of our church, let us renew our commitment to God. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the command and the promise of the Lord. And we thank thee, O God, that 30 years later we can look back and thank thee that thy word is true and thou dost fulfill the promise that thou hast given to thy people. But our Father, we pray as we come in this 30th year that thou would help us, Lord, to dedicate ourselves anew to the service of the Lord Jesus. And grant, O God, that thou would open our eyes to behold the challenge that is before us. And Father, we pray that every individual child of thine will say, Lord, here am I. Use me in whatever capacity thou canst use me. And help us, our Father, to take the land. O God, we need to see thee moving in revival blessing. And so we pray that thou would get us into the place where thou canst use us in the day of thy power. Our Father, bless us now, we pray, as we continue. And Lord, as we come to sit around the table of the Lord, O God, we pray that thou would grant us a sweet sense of the presence of Christ. Do this, we pray, and bless us and help us to honor thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.